Hello, my name is Sam Clement, and welcome to this special edition of the Picture House podcast. Excuse me whilst I record this intro in a tiny hotel room at the Cannes Film Festival. But before I went to Cannes, I got to talk to the show creators, the movie makers, and the cast of Bob's Burgers and the Bob's Burgers movie, which is in cinemas right now. I love the show. I'm a big fan of the show. I came to it a little bit late, and then I binge-watched the whole thing because it is available on streaming in the UK. But the film, the long-awaited film adaptation, or I guess installment, because it just carries the story on, is now in cinemas, and it's so funny. I love the show. I love this film. I laughed like a drain in the screening I went to. I went to an early press screening so I could talk to the cast, who you're about to hear, and the filmmakers on this podcast. And there was a few moments at the screening where it's a very, the show is packed full of gags, and sometimes there's, very subtle jokes in the background. And I often was the only person laughing at some of those jokes, and I laughed so loud the guy next to me looked at me as if I was just, keep it down, mate, calm down. It's only Bob's Burgers movie. But I thought it was so funny, and I'm looking forward to watching it again this weekend to laugh far too loud yet again. It's a blast. I do think the film works if you haven't seen the show, because it is not in a bad way. It is like a long episode of the show. I think this could be your onboarding point. You totally get who the characters are, and what they do within the show and how they function, and you get the humor, and then you can watch all of the series. There's like 10 series or 11 series available that you can watch right after. So that's it from me. I'm going to pass over now to my past self and my interviews with Deep Breath. Lauren Bouchard, the show creator and film co-director and co-writer, co-director Bernard Derriman, and co-writer Nora Smith. They're up first, but stay after that interview, folks, because we've got interviews with the cast. We've got H. John Benjamin, we've got John Roberts, we've got Dan Mintz, we've got Eugene Merman, and we just had a blast. And we got Larry Murphy, who voices Eddie. So we've got all of the big characters just after we talk to the filmmakers. That's far too much for me. Enjoy the interviews and enjoy the film. Highly recommend seeking it out. Oh, thank you all for joining us, and thank you for the Bob's Burgers movie. I'm a big fan of the show, and it was so exciting to get the invite to go to the press screening the other day. And like, can I please cover this? Whatever, I'll do anything else, but I have to go to the early screening of the Bob's Burgers movie.
Good. Was it a good screening? Did you have a good crowd?
It was a really fun crowd. I was I'm one of those people who, in a movie theater, I love to laugh really loud, and normally like the sound of the movie sort of drowns you out. But at a press screening, there isn't a huge audience, so I think everybody just heard me laughing throughout the screening.
Can we borrow you over here?
Every screening.
Take you around.
Even like, I don't know, I mean, I'm a sucker for sight gags, but there's a couple of gags in the movie that really tickled me, and I just had to bark a huge laugh out. Like a newspaper falling in a big hole, that sort of thing. I wanted to ask, how long has the idea of doing a movie sort of been with you? And, was it something you'd always wanted to do, or do you have an epiphany one day?
No, we were nervous about this idea. The fans asked us, here and there, when we were in, early seasons of the show, mid-seasons, it came up. It's very flattering, but it made us absolutely scared to death. We did not want to accidentally take our eye off the ball, and it was very hard to do the show for many years. To just get the show done was all we could manage. And we also really like being the underdog, the little show. And that means, you take nothing for granted, and you have very limited dreams and hopes. But when they did ask, the studio came and asked us if we wanted to do a movie, it was at a great time. We had slowly spread our wings from littler things like the comic book to slightly bigger things like the cookbook and the live shows. We had started to feel like we could do the TV show and other things at the same time. And in particular, those live shows really helped us think through how a movie feels. It's the audience. You're getting people together in a room. It's not the living room anymore, and that's what we had been doing with the live show. So it helped. It really did, and gave us the confidence to say yes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that sounds like, you know, you're taking the right steps, albeit maybe unbeknownst to you.
For sure.
Was there something, I guess, you know, this is literally a bigger canvas, not only in the size of the picture, but, you know, there's more runtime to play with, there's more scope maybe for, you know, more impressive sort of styles of animation. Were there things that you had sort of saved up from doing the show for so many years, like, not today, if only we had, you know, a bigger budget and something like a movie to maybe put these ideas into? Did you come to this with sort of some ideas that were left over from the show?
I don't know if it was left over from the show, but when I had time to read before children, I read a lot of crime fiction, and Lauren and Bernard also love, you know, mystery. And so when we were talking about a movie, like, that made me really excited that we could do a mystery on a level that we couldn't do on the show, because there's certain things in a mystery that you can't just throw into a TV show that we could throw into this movie.
Bodies.
Yeah, a body. I never know if we can say or not. There's a body.
Maybe we can. That's why I said it out of the corner of my mouth, so it doesn't count.
Right. So we can't just, you know, murder people left and right on the TV show. It'd be, I feel like it would... would not work out. So we got to do that, which was something that I think we'd like always, you know, dreamed about a little bit. And then as far as other stuff from the show, I feel like we have to make so many episodes that, like, I don't know if we were saving up stuff. We were just like, get in an episode, you know, like, make it happen. And then when we got to write a movie, then we got to like cook up all our bigger ideas.
And it looks amazing. Like, the animation on the big screen looks incredible. Did you have to sort of rethink the look of the show for the movie project?
No, we really didn't want to do that. And we didn't want to sort of make it feel like it was that different from the show. We didn't want sort of people to see something that was just so different that when they went back to the show, they'd be bummed out or anything, you know. We wanted to make it feel like it was just a bigger version of the show. So for that reason, we took our characters and we used the exact characters from the show. We never redesigned them. We didn't sort of give them anything else. We just basically had more time to give them better animation, better acting, and more fluid animation that we'd love to do on the show, but we just don't get the opportunity to. And a huge chunk of the animation was done in Ireland, in a studio, Lighthouse in Kilkenny, and just some really talented animators. And it was just, it was just a great opportunity with that extra time we had on the movie to really spend it and just getting the animation to that sort of higher level for the big screen.
I'm one of those people who likes to stay during the credits. So I loved seeing all of the international, you know, animation studios sort of being credited there.
We did a tour of the world. We did
It's truly a global production. Yes. Something I love about the show, and I think this is really ambitious for, you know, a 20-minute series show, that there's so much great music in the show, and the songs are really good, and the songs in the film do not disappoint at all, but I loved hearing them through cinema surround sound. You know, that was incredible. How did you approach in the film you've got more room for songs, but how did you approach putting songs into the script and into this movie?
We knew we were going to do songs. We knew that, and we were excited by the challenge. But we also didn't want to make it wall to wall. We didn't want to overstay our welcome. On the show, we find that music, you don't want to just flip a switch and become a musical. It has to earn its spot. So we knew it was going to be, you know, four or so numbers. And we knew that the trick was to make each one feel like something bigger and more powerful, with bigger shoulders, you know, than it has on the TV show. The show is intentionally sometimes very small. You know, the ukulele is a small little thing, and it speaks to the show, and it's, you know, it's of the show. It reminds you that the restaurant's gonna fail, you know, like a little bird that's fallen out of its nest. You know, it's that fragile of a sound. So we didn't want to do just that. We couldn't open this movie with junkity 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 junk, because it wouldn't tell you that this is a movie and that you made a good decision by coming to the theater to see it. We wanted to have an orchestra and brass and winds and orchestral percussion and the ukulele. We tried to wrap it all up in this big sound that still felt like us, felt like the show, and we just dove in. And then, of course, the other thing we knew we were going to do was big dance numbers. That was another thing. We would love to do it on the series. We think in terms of dancing so often, especially for our end credit sequences. And we try to give the audience a real, you know, we like to call it a Bollywood ending for every episode. But this, the movie had to have that right from the beginning. And Bernard is incredibly talented at that, in particular, making the characters dance and swing around delightfully like little punching bags.
It was incredible to see so many, you know, bodies on screen. Like, it did feel like a big musical spectacular during those sequences.
Thank you.
What I love is, I guess it's going back to the, you know, the murder mystery sort of story, but it's a proper arc. It's really suspenseful as well as being so funny. Like, is it hard to get that balance right? You know, there's some serious moments of drama. The restaurant is, you know, yet again about to go under. You know, there's a mystery in town, but, you know, there's really great jokes just sort of peppered throughout. How long does it take to get that right?
To me, I feel like it's harder to refrain from jokes just because it's like an impulse to, like, oh gosh, have people not laughed in 10 seconds? Like, let's put another joke here, you know? So I think it's, you know, we have such a great group of people working on the show who are writing jokes for us all the time. We have a great joke writing room, and, you know, obviously we wrote some jokes in the movie, but to me it's like harder to trust in the drama, you know, which Lauren will like it's okay, you can write a drama scene, you know, it's fine. So it was like a fun challenge to, and also when you're writing something like big and dramatic, like cutting it with a joke is so fun. When a character is really, really scared or really, really emotional, like cutting it with a joke just feels like so satisfying. So it's just like a fun setup, not that the emotional part of the story is just a setup for a punchline, but it's just so fun to cut that with a joke, you know.
I think the cast kind of allows for it as well, because you often have sort of groups of characters rather than characters flying solo. You've got the kids and maybe Linda, Bob and Teddy together, and there's always sort of someone, if two people are having the serious chat, someone can come in with a gag.
Yes.
You're revealing all our tricks.
I've just been, during lockdown, I did a big rewatch on the show. So I was primed for this film. Like, okay, I've done 10 seasons. There's a movie coming out. This is perfect timing in a way.
That's great.
That's a lot of episodes.
Well, I was, I was a bit late to the show, but by the time I got to the show, there was just so many. I was like, oh, let's do another one. Let's do another one. it is really Moorish. Have you been working on the series since the movie's done? Have you gone back to the sort of 20-minute format now?
We've never left it. We've been working on it all the way through. It's not a show you want to give up. It's a pleasure to work on the series. We loved making the movie, but I would have felt terrible if we had to choose one over the other. We were lucky. Our production people are incredible. Janelle Momrie in particular just made the schedule somehow work. It's like a Rubik's Cube that only she could solve, but we were able to do both. So we never stopped.
I think that's really good to hear, because after seeing the movie, you just want to come out and watch more, more episodes.
Good.
Let's go.
Have you had that moment? I guess with, like, when a TV show comes out, you know, there's lots of marketing around it, but not in the same way there is a movie. But what's it like seeing Bob's Burgers posters out there, trailers before other movies in theaters, bus adverts on taxis? Because I think before, for me anyway, it was a real word of mouth show, and now I'm seeing, you know, like, you know, out of home advertising and above the line sort of advertising for this.
Yeah, we're texting each other pictures every time we see one. You know, it's like I'm constantly driving along and quickly trying to take a shot while, you know, I see a bus stop or something. It's a lot of fun seeing it, for sure.
But it's scary too. It's scary. We love being the little show that no one expected to succeed, because then we can maybe exceed some expectations and delight somebody by still being around or by being somebody's favorite show. This marketing is incredible and we feel really lucky, but it also makes us nervous. It's not it's that word of mouth thing that you mentioned. We noticed that too. You know, that was really gratifying to be the show that was passed around between friends and amongst families. And you know, that kind of marketing is the best marketing there is. So, you know, in the end, if we had to give all up all the posters and the ads on bus stops, we would, because we're used to the other thing.
Absolutely. I fully agree with that. With my cinema background, the films that get people talking are the films that, you know, get audiences in. Well, thank you so much for your time and thank you for the movie. I'm going to be going back this weekend in the UK and watching it at my local cinema.
Oh, good on you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, everybody. Lauren, I'm going to see you for my 90 minutes or less podcast later, talking about heavy metal as well.
Yep. I'm ready.
Oh, thanks, guys. Best of luck with the film, and I'll speak soon. Thank you so much for joining us today, guys, on the Picture House podcast. We're a cinema chain in the UK, excited to show the Bob's Burgers movie on the big screen.
Yay! Yes.
As you know, your characters are all so important to the show. Was that kind of exciting to think, actually, you know, we're going to be doing this on a big screen for rooms full of people, you know, not just people in their living rooms?
Yeah, I think making it like a bigger experience was like, it was really cool. I think that's like, especially for fans of the show, to sort of have that as a sort of gift to them in a way. And a different experience, yeah, from watching at home, for sure.
So I guess on a practical note, with COVID, was recording this different to working on the show? I guess that must have been a factor that you hadn't had to contend with before.
Well, we were very lucky to be able to work during that time. And, you know, voiceover is kind of, you know, is great for that. So we continue to work in our homes, but we worked a little differently than we normally would have if it wasn't a pandemic. So I'd say that they did exceptionally well in kind of compensating for that and making sure that we still had fun and that the movie, you know, continued to work. And it was just a blessing to be able to do that.
It's good that the pandemics are very, or voiceover is very conducive to work for during a pandemic.
Microphone sales were through the roof.
You have to stay in an isolation booth.
In between, yes.
You're already quarantining.
No contact with any other individuals.
No.
So did you actually record the voices for the movie in your homes, or did you go, you know, to a studio somewhere?
Well, we did. The studio was closed at the onset of the pandemic when the movie production started. So we did shift to like makeshift setups in our homes. And then of course those weren't viable for the movie because there were birds chirping and people shutting doors and a lot of farting. But, well, that happens anyway.
In right. The studio.
But then they recovered and redid a lot of the stuff that we had done in our home studios. After we could get back to a studio, which was when, like a year ago?
Yeah, we started to go back in maybe around a year ago and re-record some stuff and really fit it to the animation, which kind of the opposite of how we work on the show, timing everything and having a director direct us in that way, which is really cool too. It actually made me feel more like a professional voiceover actor than what we do.
Yeah, the process was unique, but in seeing the finished product, I kind of need to say that having seen the movie, that the end result was pretty amazing, considering the circumstances under which it was made. Yeah,
considering that it was done like expressively different than the way we normally do it, it came out pretty much the same as if we had done it that way to begin with. Lauren Bouchard should get a lot of credit for that. He actually scratched back the whole movie, doing all the impressions of each character. You know, so he was down to the intonation. He had done basically the whole audio track himself.
Just a really one long acid trip, and he got it all out.
I mean, that was pretty trippy.
He was like tripping for 48 hours.
Yeah, they should put out, that would be the director's cut.
And then dive into his early rave years, you know, where it all these characters originally started in his imagination during that first trip in the summer of 88. They're right there in the UK.
I think there's an audience for that, a 100-minute long podcast or something with just Lauren doing everybody. Is it kind of weird hearing Lauren do your characters' voices? Or, you know, is it actually, you know, this is...
Oh, it pissed me off. It made me physically want to hit something or break something. I thought, how dare he touch that?
That's my intellectual property.
Exactly. And there were a few calls to Lauren,
honestly, it was helpful when we recorded the movie that, because Lauren, because we couldn't play off the actor who we normally would do the scenes with, like John and I, or Larry and I, Lauren did act as that character against, so that helped our performance, I think.
We're about to open the film in the UK. Really excited to play it. I was wondering, are you all cinema goers, and have you seen the Bob's Burgers movie, you know, poster, trailer, on your travels? That must be a little bit different to working on the TV show.
It's been, we were just all in LA, and it was super exciting to get off the plane and see Bob's, you know, everywhere. And same thing in New York City, on top of the taxis, and you get out of the subway and there was like a whole Bob's Burgers thing. It was really so exciting. And I hope it's as exciting for the fans, and, you know, to see it on the big screen is, you know, I don't think it's hit us yet, but we're so, you know, also that it's playing in the UK as well is just beyond.
It's really, normally we have to wait, you know, for films to open in the States and then they open here a few months later, but we're getting it on the same day, which is really exciting.
That's awesome.
Just one final question. If you, when you go to the cinema, like a lot of our audiences will do, have you got a preferred cinema snack, cinema treat you like to enjoy when you're watching a movie?
I like to sneak in some Reese's Pieces in my in between my toes and a little bit of popcorn.
I bring popcorn, and I do not touch that during the previews.
Oh. You bring your own popcorn?
You wait.
No, I buy the popcorn, but I don't eat that until the movie.
Until the movie starts.
The main event. I love it.
Oh, that's gross.
I know.
I'm going to go popcorn as well. I love popcorn with a little bit of butter.
Nice. So it's a classic choice, but a classic for a reason. Well, thank you all for your time today. It's been really great to chat. And on Friday at Pitch House Cinemas, we'll be playing Bob's Burgers movie. Excited to get it back on the big screen where it belongs.
Thank you, cool. Sam. Thank you. I hope you all have fun and enjoy the festivities.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye, Sam.
See you later.
Bye.
Hi, Dan and Eugene. How are you doing?
Hi.
Good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. We're excited to open the Bob's Burgers movie on Friday, and I feel like fans probably think it's been a long time coming.
Well, they're correct. It has been a long time coming.
Yeah, it's true. I think it was supposed to come out a while ago, and then there was a pandemic. I think there was like maybe a reasonable regular delay, and then all of a sudden a pandemic, and so that sort of threw everything for a loop. But now, yeah, it's coming out in a few days.
I think the delay was good because it would have come out on like May of 2020, except that it got delayed enough to get delayed till, I don't know if we're after the pandemic exactly, but a little bit better timing.
Yeah.
I think it's added to the anticipation.
During the pandemic.
Well. Yeah. I saw it. I spotted it on a release calendar maybe a couple of years ago, and I was like, "Oh my god, this is amazing!" And then, of course, everything happened. But it's just made it this more of, you know, this unicorn-like, you know, film coming to movie theaters. So we're really excited to be able to play the film. I was wondering how did working on the film differ to doing the show? Of course, the film is longer. There's maybe longer to develop the film as well as actually, like, you know, putting your voices down, you know, on tape, as it were. How did your experiences differ?
I mean, it's not that different because we're just, you know, talking into microphones, but it was kind of an opposite process where normally we record everything first and then they animate, and here they would, like, you know, they would send us a scene that was mostly animated and then we'd record what was there, and the scenes were, you know, it's out of order, so it was kind of trying to interesting to figure out what the context was and what would actually happen in the movie.
A fun puzzle. yeah, Eugene, and you've been doing the show for, you know, a number of years now. Can you see how your performance might have changed over this time to you know, series one?
You know, I don't know if the I think that, you know, over time the writers have gotten to know the character and the actors have gotten to know the characters, and so you sort of find this place where, you know, I think in the very beginning we would all, like, we would sometimes improvise or do something, and then when you saw an episode, you'd know, you'd be like, oh yeah, I remember doing that. Now it all kind of blends together because the writers know the characters so well, and you know, you sort of are working in this symbiotic way, in a really great way. You know, I don't know if the performance has specifically changed or not. I'd have to, like, specifically watch old episodes, new ones. But I think that you know, over the first season, the all the characters kind of, like, the exuberance and different, you know, kind of emotions and kind of got established. And then as just time went on and there were more and more layers of the world added, then I think that, like, you know, it's more that, like, there was, like, an understanding of all the different elements of the characters over time.
I think and the audience have been on this journey too. I think now that, you know, we're in, is it season 11 maybe, that I'm currently watching on TV, sometimes just a character opening their mouth makes me laugh because I'm so affected by the performance. It definitely happens a lot with Gene and Tina, for sure. Have you got a favorite thing you like to do, Dan, when you know, reading Tina's lines? Like, oh, I get to do this in this episode or in the movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's always, like, the more emotional, particularly, like, when she's angry, the more fun it is for me. Like, angry or sassy, like, the more it, like, plays against my kind of monotone and her kind of monotone energy, the more fun it is. I think that one of my favorite things to perform was maybe the episode where she got addicted to coffee. Very fun.
I also love, not that it's a voice performance thing, but the way Tina runs, and she does it in the movie. I mean, as well.
I can't take credit for that, but
I'm glad that they've stuck with that though throughout the whole run. Gene, is there anything for you similar to when you're performing Gene?
I mean, I think when he's really excited about something, and there's, like, so he's, like, looking forward to something, and he's, like, you know, can't be stopped, kind of, that can be really fun, or when he has a plan.
I'm a big fan of his musical endeavors as well, and again in the film we get a chance to, you know, see him perform literally on a big stage.
Yeah.
I was at a screening of the film the other day, and it was so nice to see Bob's Burgers with an audience. I guess, you know, doing the TV show, it goes directly into people's homes. I know you've done Bob's Burgers live, which I guess must be, you're actually seeing them right there, but the idea of the film playing sort of everywhere over the same weekend with large audiences, it's a totally different viewing experience. How do you feel about that?
I mean, you know, I think it'll, oh, go on, Dan.
Oh, I was just saying, because we had a slightly different experience about, like, seeing it with, like, you know, other, you know, the friends and family screenings or the premiere, where it's like with all the people on the show, and so there's a different kind of excitement. But I, you know, hopefully it's a similar feeling of, like, oh wow, I'm not just laughing at this alone in a room, but there's other people that are acting the same way as me.
Yeah, I think there's something very fun about seeing something in a communal way and getting to share it with other people. You know, because I think that when you're watching at home, you're like, this is a thing I like. And then all of a sudden, when you're together in a theater with different people, you're like, oh, we all love this thing. And we've all been, like, following it for so long. You know, it's like finding, you know, like long lost family members.
It feels like, as a fan of the show, this is a bit of a payoff, because for years, it was kind of like, you know, if I found someone who liked Bob's Burgers, they would become my best friend. You know, it's became a bit of a shorthand. And yeah. When we were hearing
coming out, be careful, it'll be a lot of people.
Yeah, I need to cut that off. But has that been your experience as well with the show, sort of noticing how the fan base has grown over the years?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. I feel like it does have, like, a specific tone to it, which I think is just Lauren, the creator's tone, that, you know, he brought with him from some of the other shows he's done. And so at first it felt more of a niche kind of thing, and like a very, it's almost like at first it kind of was more like what you're saying about like, oh, if someone likes it, they're the specific type of person. And then it's cool to see it kind of grow beyond that to just, you know, people hearing about it and just, oh, I guess I'll watch this thing that my friends are talking about, and into a more, you know, broader phenomenon. Although I don't think that that's really affected the show at all, still seems to have a very specific voice.
100%. I think it's a really good sort of recommendation. I can be confident if I know someone's sense of humor, like, I think I can pair you up with this show you're gonna like. So it's quite reliable in that respect. Like, just go for any episode. You'll be fine. You're with friends. What's it been like, Eugene, seeing, you know, marketing for the movie out there in the world? Are you a big cinema goer?
Yeah, I am. It's playing at a theater near my house, and I'm gonna go introduce it that night. And it's been sort of surreal. I don't know that I've been part of something on this scale. I'd never been to a movie premiere like on the scale of what we went to for Bob's. You know, so it's like weird seeing billboards and even just like bags at grocery stores with like, but like there's a scale of promotion that I've never been a part of. So it's neat. It's neat seeing it, neat knowing that like you're part of this thing that people enjoy.
100%. We're at our cinema, Pitch House Cinemas in the UK. We've got a Bob's Burger van outside of one of our cinemas coming on Friday. Going to hand out some sliders, take some photos. Nice. And it's kind of like amazing to see this in reality after, you know, seeing it on my TV screen for so long. Yeah. Cool. I think we need to wrap up there, but thank you both for your time. It's been great talking.
Thank you.
And yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe there'll be another Bob's Burgers movie down the line.
Sure. Forever.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Bye.